Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine, and I do apologize if you tuned in yesterday to listen to this show because we had some technical difficulties. But things always work out the way they're supposed to, and here we are today. Today we're going to talk about changing your thoughts and changing your life. And the question is your mind residing in the past room where regrets, past hurts, painful memories, grudges, or other memories are impacting you today? Or perhaps you are hanging out in the future room where worry, anxiety, or fear haunt you daily. Today's special guest, Kevin Murphy, has a powerful new book called The Three Rooms, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, that actually shows you a roadmap to the pleasant room, the present room, the one where all of that fades away and you can fully blossom into your highest potential, greatest success, and a love-filled life. Kevin Murphy is a former Wall Street managing director, a high school and college wrestling champion, a community activist, a speaker, and coach. He stepped away from the corporate world to write The Three Rooms, and we're going to find out why. Thank you for listening, and let me introduce you to my wonderful guest, Kevin Murphy. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Randy. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being my guest. So the question is, why did you step away from the corporate world to write The Three Rooms?
Well, I think it wasn't a conscious decision to write a book and to go have it published. But I did start getting a premonition while I was still in the corporate world of writing a book, and then an image of three doors kept coming to me. And, one was labeled the past, and one was labeled the present, and one was labeled the future. And as I started to keep thinking about it, and I kept describing the place beyond the doors where our thoughts go, ultimately I just started writing things down, and it really started with writing 10 chapters. And I wrote out these 10 chapters, and then while I was commuting to work every day, I just started filling in all these chapters based on different life experiences, and then sometimes it was books or songs or movies that I would hear. I would start thinking things like, oh, that's, then I'd write it down a thought, and that's based on the past drama, or, oh, this is about, stress or worrying about something in the future. And I just started filling in all the chapters. And about 3 years later, all the chapters were filled in. I figured, okay, well, I guess it's time to step away and publish the book.
Wow. Well, it's an excellent book, and as I told you, I do recommend it. We're going to talk about what each room is about. But I just wanted to say to my listeners that this book puts so much into perspective in a very easy way. And for those of you who are caught up in thoughts from the past or worrying about the future, this really kind of helps you center yourself and put yourself in a place where you don't do that. You know how to stop doing that. You know how to turn off that dialogue in your head and live for the moment. So the first thing I wanted to say is you said in your book that we need to look around at what we see in the physical world and shift our perception so that we are aware of this world of forms being the dream. It's our perception of reality. So what do you mean by our perception of reality? Is there no true reality?
I think when I talk about our perception of reality, our perception is simply the lens through which we observe our life or observe the movie of our life, as I like to say, and reality is our perception manifested. So if we keep how we look at things is basically based on what we're thinking and how we're feeling, so those thoughts and those emotions, that's what we keep projecting out in any moment. And that's, therefore, also what we start to attract back into our lives. So when I say our perception is the lens through which you're observing the movie of your life, it's really, kind of the room that you're in or the thoughts and emotions that you are emitting out. And that's really creating your experience of life or that movie. And therefore, what is your reality? Your reality is your perception manifested. Whichever thoughts and emotions you're putting out there, that does become your reality. And if you want to change your reality, then change your perception, which is simply changing the thoughts and emotions that you're putting out.
Okay, well said. So let's talk a little bit about the rooms, since that's what this book is about, the three rooms. What is the past room?
Well, the past room is when you keep looking back at something that's happened in the past that continues to cause negative emotions inside of you. And so it may be something that someone said to you or something someone did or even something you did or you didn't do that you feel guilty about. But it is when you're feeling negative emotions and it's because you're thinking about something in the past. And likewise, just extend that out to the future room being also when you're feeling negative emotions and it's based on something that you're thinking about in the future. Now, that might be something, you're worried about that you don't think you can have or, you're thinking of a worst-case scenario, but it's causing feelings of stress or anxiety about something. But once again, the future room is also when you're feeling negative emotions based on something that you're thinking in the future. And likewise, then, the present room would be when you're not feeling negative emotions, when you're actually feeling positive emotions or love or joy or appreciation or things like that, all the derivatives of love, which is what we should be feeling. So very simply is whenever you're not feeling good and positive emotions, it means you're in the wrong room. And the past room is simply, it's because you're looking in the past and it's causing negative emotions. The future room is simply because you're looking forward and it's causing negative emotions. But it always comes down to which room am I in is based on how I feel. And then I can say, well, my thoughts are causing it. And that's how you know where your thoughts are pulling.
Okay, great. That makes it very clear. So are we not supposed to have thoughts of the past? Are we not supposed to remember the past? How do we deal with that? How do we deal with what happened in the past and its and how it brought us to today?
That's a great question. And the real key is that it's not about not going to the past room and not going to the future room, or not thinking about things in the past or not thinking about things in the future, because we are always going to be doing that. And we're always going to be looking back. And people say, well, we need to learn from the past and we need to plan for the future. And so, and that's absolutely true. But the key is to knowing when you are going into the past and when you are going into the future. And when you are looking into the past and it's causing negative emotions, and that's when you know you want to address those thoughts that are causing the negative emotions. And we need to change our perception about that. Because there's a big difference in why I said at the beginning, it's all about how you feel. Like if you're sitting here and you're recalling positive past experiences and you remember, oh, remember that, or it may have been your first kiss or the first, you know, time you aced a test or that job promotion that you got, and those positive past experiences, we want to continue to experience them because they're making us feel good right now. But it's when we start thinking of things in the past and it's causing negative emotions, that's why we don't want to be reliving those negative emotions. So now we say, it starts with, okay, now I know I'm angry, I shouldn't be feeling that way, and I want to let that go. And so there's different things to do and to be able to let it go. And of course, forgiveness is one of the biggest things, not just forgiving somebody else, but sometimes if it's guilt that you're holding on to about something over and over, it's forgiving yourself. But it starts with understanding that, okay, now I know that I'm not feeling good, I'm feeling negative emotions, and it's because I keep thinking about this. And it's the easiest way to recognize it, because if you don't recognize it, some people, and we've all seen those people, they just always seem angry, and they're just constantly mad about something because they're just not even conscious of, they keep thinking about things in the past. They keep hanging on to those negative emotions, and you end up kind of getting stuck there. And the same thing can happen in the future room, of course, with stress and anxiety and things like that. And it's all because you're not aware that you're there. And that's really the key to the three rooms and the whole concept.
Okay. It's really a great concept. There's a lot that plays in our head. A lot of dialogues that play in our head, and most of which are not our thoughts, most of which have been programmed into there, or, you know, it's just, they've just entered there. And I always tell people that the way they feel intuitively is the true feeling. But we have a tendency to go from that feeling and just deny it to what's playing in our head and listening to that. And that steers us wrong every time. So I wanted to talk about triggers, because you bring that up in the book. And you say we all have triggers that can set off a host of emotions. And when a trigger goes off, it strikes a chord deep within us because there's an element of truth to it. Now, and you say that we don't want triggers to take us back into the past room. We want triggers to get us out. Now, what happens if your triggers are subconscious?
Well, triggers, you know, it is a it's an important factor, and even if they're subconscious, it you have to think about where are those triggers coming from, or, you know, let's just say whether it's subconscious or conscious, even if it is subconscious, it is based on whether you're focusing on everything you see and hear in the physical world, and you let them keep affecting how you feel, because that's where you're getting all these triggers. You go out into the in the day, and certainly in the morning, you can meditate in the morning, you can be all peaceful, but as soon as you get in that car and you start driving to work and someone cuts you off and you get all upset and you spill your coffee and now you see that person who said something negative about you yesterday, and all these things, we can call them triggers, and all these different things that start causing negative emotions and negative thoughts, in your head, you're still letting everything you see and hear now affect how you're feeling inside, because you keep focusing on everything outside of you. Yet if you start looking, start within, and you start the day looking from, you know, from the point of feeling good and from observing it, and that's your number one focus, is on feeling good, then you can start to affect everything you see and hear. But even before we get, you know, into that, you know, to really starting to change what you see and hear based on how you feel inside, you know, those triggers that you see, if you recognize there's certain things, and it may be that person when you, as soon as you walk into work and you see that person who's, you just have issues with, and now it starts to ruin your day the first thing in the morning, you know, already that's could be a trigger. And you need to be addressing that, knowing that it keeps pulling you because it's based on something that person's done in the past. You know it keeps pulling you into the past realm. You don't want to be feeling those negative emotions anymore. And so either it's a point of, you know what, I'm going to forgive that person, or I'm just going to not give that benefit of the doubt to, you know, to keep letting that person ruin my day. He's not worth it. I want to feel good, so I'm coming back into the present realm. And so watching those things, being aware that all day long, if we have triggers that are causing negative emotions, it's because of everything we're focusing on in the physical world, everything we see and hear. And so it's also nice to have triggers to keep reminding us to look within. And one of the biggest, you know, triggers, if you want something over and over, you know, through the day, to just keep reminding you to come back into, let's just say, into the present moment, is just to be saying, you know, where am I? You know, where are my thoughts? And the simple asking and answering of that question, based on how you feel, keeps bringing you back into the present moment or back into the present room. Because if you're not feeling well any time during the day, just say, so where am I now? And so, oh, you know what? I'm still mad at that person. All right, I'm in the past realm. Or, you know, where are my thoughts now? And you start feeling anxious about something. All right, I know I keep thinking about this new job interview tomorrow. I keep worrying about that. I know I'm in the future realm. I'm going to let that go. I'm coming back in here. So that awareness, you know, comes from the simple act of observation, you know, observing your thoughts and observing how you feel. And once you can become aware of how you feel, you can know which, where your thoughts are. And if you're feeling negative emotions, you're either looking backwards or you're thinking about something going forward. And then you can come back into the present, because that awareness now separates, you know, the act of observation of your thoughts separates the awareness from the thoughts. So you're no longer at the effect of them.
You know, this concept is genius and simple and profound all at the same time. So, I love it because I work with people who are suffering from pain from the past and are having a hard time letting it go. So I really like this because it simplifies, rather than just saying pay attention to your thoughts, this really gives you a place to put your thoughts or to understand where your thoughts are. Now, we're talking about being physical beings in a physical world. So who are we really?
Well, we are these eternal beings. You know, whichever there is, you know, I think everybody, you know, you can call it your higher self, there's a higher power, there's an inner being or an eternal being. You know, there's lots of different names for it, but there's just a non-physical part of us. I mean, a lot of people feel comfortable with the term soul. I believe I have a soul. Okay. And, you know, your soul came from somewhere, and your soul is going to, you know, come somewhere else, you know, or, you know, continue on. So, you know, who we are really never changes. We are eternal beings that have manifested in these physical bodies, you know, in order to experience ourselves. And we are here in this physical lifetime, which, you know, Linda Ellis wrote this great poem, The Dash, which I love, and that's, you know, that's the dash on a tombstone, which has a birth date and a death date. And we all know that we're in the middle of our dash right now. And so that's the physical part of us, and that's what we're going through. But there is the non-physical part of us, which that's what we want to connect to. And so much of what we are in this physical world, when we focus on everything outside of us, you know, and all those negative thoughts causing negative emotions, you know, we're losing contact with that non-physical part of us, with that higher self. And so you can either have constant communication with other people all around you, and typically they're telling you things that you can't do this and you can't do that and you're not good enough for that, and it's causing all these negative emotions in us. Or we can be in communion with our higher self, or that non-physical part of us that's always telling us, no, you can do that, and I've already written that script for you, and you can do that. And so how do you be in communion with that non-physical part of us? Well, being in communion is not communicating. We communicate, like right now, we're communicating via sound waves, and we're interpreting sound waves going back and forth with our voices, and that's how we communicate with other people. But when we communicate with our higher self, we're in communion with our higher self, and that's the exchange of thoughts and emotions. And so that's when you quiet your voice, meaning your physical voice and sound waves, and you really start to listen within with thoughts and emotions, that's where you start to get these inspired ideas. That's when you start to get, when you can really quiet, and that's where meditation helps, you know, comes in, and you can really start to be in communion with your higher self, and then that starts to, you know, direct you through your day, as opposed to what everyone else says and does. But we have to quiet our minds, we have to come back into the present moment, and back into the present room, if you will, and it's not just that 15 minutes in the morning when you meditate. You have to be able to do it all through the day. And that's when, you know, a simple thing about a question of, you know, where am I all through the day? Where are my thoughts, or which room am I in? Constantly can bring you back into the present room. Because like you were talking about, sometimes people have things in their past that it's hard to let go. And it continues to keep bothering them. But if you can put it in a perspective of, you know, I want to be happy. I want to feel good. Okay, and every time I think of that, I know it's just I'm going into the past room and I'm feeling negative emotions. I'm just in the wrong room. And therefore, I'm coming back into this present room now. And if you have, you know, trouble with it because of what someone has done, you know, think about real hardships and things that, you know, tragedies that some people have gone through based on maybe a loved one was, you know, hit by a drunk driver or, you know, things like that, and they've chosen to forgive other people. Then you have to ask yourself, well, I'm holding on to all these negative emotions towards this person based on what I heard they said about me last week. You know, I got to let that go. And that's how you can start to, you know, start to come back into the present room.
And okay, is what we're talking about mindfulness? Is that what they mean when they say, you know, what that word means when we hear about mindfulness?
That's exactly it. Mindfulness is the conscious awareness of our thoughts. And that's exactly what the three rooms is about. It's simply the conscious awareness of our thoughts. Which room are my thoughts in? And it's critical to understand that each thought is linked to emotions. And we started out, anytime if it's in the past, it's negative emotions in the past or negative emotions in the future. Now, typically, when you're thinking about something in the past and it's causing negative emotions, it's causing emotions like anger, resentment, guilt, those kind of emotions. And typically, if we're thinking about something in the future and it's causing negative emotions, it's things like stress and anxiety or feelings of lack. But sometimes I've had people say, well, you know, that emotion, that should really be in the future room, not the past room. And that's kind of missing the point. The only point of the past room or the future room is the feeling of negative emotions, which just tells you you're in the wrong room. And you can, in order to change those negative emotions or try to, you know, to start to heal them, you can think about where are those negative emotions coming from. And it's either coming from thoughts of the past or thoughts of the future. And now sometimes people say, well, I'm I'm right here. I'm looking at my life right now, and I'm living in the present room, but my life stinks. I hate it, and I'm not happy. Well, that's not living in the present room, because you're still making an interpretation of what you're seeing, and what you're seeing, and you're looking at what is, but everything right now that you're looking at is really what was. This is everything that has already happened up to this moment right now. So it's still looking at the past. And when you start to look in the present, from the present realm, instead of looking at what is, you start to focus on what can be. And you start to imagine what you would like in your life, and the things that you would, how you would like to feel, and things that you would like to come into your life. Now you can start to feel good right now about things to come. And that's changing your future. That's helping to start to, to create your future, but also it's realizing it's letting you let go of your past, because even looking at right now, again, don't look at this, look around and say, this is what is. No, this is what was. What is coming, and if you can imagine it, as soon as you can imagine it, it's already real, in your imagination and in your thoughts. So in this divine consciousness that we all share, and that's what you can experience going forward.
Well said. I appreciate that. And that explains a lot, because it's a little confusing to be able to determine which is which sometimes, and you explain that really well. You talk about the ego in your book, and you say the ego will do everything possible to keep you from going back to the present room, because that's the only room it can't hang out in. The ego's goal is to slip you into one of the other rooms without you realizing it. Let's elaborate on that a little bit. What is our ego doing?
Well, I think the ego is those thoughts that are constantly interpreting everything we see and hear. And it's based on what people say. And, even when we're talking about, people have thoughts that they have trouble letting things go, because the ego keeps reminding you of what someone said, what someone did, and it's those thoughts that constantly focus on things that have happened in the physical world, or what other people have said. And that's not where, and it's causing negative emotions. But that's not who we really are. If we go back to, the feeling of the soul, and you want to touch, touch that feeling of your soul, and, your higher self, and you want to experience those, positive emotions, then you can only experience those in the present in the present moment, or in the present room, is when we feel all those love-based emotions. And that's when we're aligned with our higher self. And so we want to listen, once again, listen to that internal voice that's guiding us in the right way, that's making us feel good. And everyone has felt it, in different times. Everyone has felt, giddy or felt the feeling of love. And try to describe that. It's really hard to describe, but, all these derivatives of love, these derivative feelings of love, which everyone has felt in any, not only in any points in their lives, but all throughout the day, you can get those feelings, but then we immediately start to let them go. There's always a different way to look at things. And when you start to align with that higher self and listen to that voice, then when you start to think about that person who's did something or said something that you have trouble letting go, think of it as you are simply not interpreting what they said or did the same way your own higher self is looking at that situation. Your own higher self is not condemning that person, is not judging that person. And so the other part of you, the part of you that is judging them or condemning them, we can call that the ego. You can call it whatever you want.
Okay. And that's our humanness, and that's something we are always going to be challenged with. But this is a great way to get our ego in check, right?
Yes, and I talk about a simple but not easy. You know, it's a simple process, but that doesn't mean that it's easy. It does take you know, it does take work. So
it takes mindfulness. It takes mindfulness, being aware of what we're thinking, you know, and realizing that just because we're thinking it does not make it good or positive or whatever. Okay, so now let's move on to talking about manifesting and what our thoughts are. So I'm going to quote you here from your book. A thought is a vibration that is stored as energy in a field of potential probabilities waiting to manifest. What is a field of potential probabilities?
Well, that's the divine consciousness, you know, that all of the mystics have always talked about, it, ancient, you know, spiritual teachings. There's lots of different names for it, but even in with modern science, they can call it, you know, the matrix, you know, and so this universal consciousness that we all share. And so I call it this field of potential probabilities because that's the best name that's, you know, describes it, because anything can happen. Like, every single thought goes somewhere. It is a vibration because we live in a vibrational universe, and it is being stored somewhere. And every negative thought that we have, based on what we're seeing and hearing, and talk about, let's say, those thoughts of the ego, and they're holding, you know, they're holding judgments against people. All those negative thoughts are being stored somewhere. We'll call it this field of potential probability. And then all of those inspired ideas that we get, they're also being stored. And you have a great idea, and you're thinking, oh, I really want to do this. This would be wonderful. And you get all excited about something. And everyone has felt that. Well, that inspired idea is also being stored in that same field of potential probabilities. And they're waiting to manifest because they can manifest based on what we think and feel in any moment. And so if our vibrational frequency is, if we keep putting out negative thoughts or thoughts that produce negative emotions, then we are going to keep attracting into our lives those same negative thoughts that are being stored in this field of potential probabilities. And the movie of our life or our future life is going to keep producing more and more of the same. And if we can get back to the point of being excited and feeling appreciation and feeling love, now all of a sudden those inspired ideas that we got and that we had, they keep coming back. And now we start to visualize them, and we can keep, you know, we can let those determine our experience of life. So it's up to us on a constant basis, you know, which thoughts and which emotions are going to be determining our life or dictating our life. And I think the symbol, we go back to what I was saying earlier, if you're constantly focusing on the past and what was, and I'm not going to be able to do this, and I'm not going to be able to do that, then that's constantly what you're pushing out. And that's, that movie of your life is going to keep producing more and more of the same. But if you start to be thinking about things like, you know, what can be, and you start feeling, you know, love and appreciation, and you start to get more and more of those inspired ideas, and you focus on those inspired ideas, they are waiting to manifest for you. And that's when you start to rendezvous with the right people, and, you know, it's not, you don't do anything, but you get inspired to do things, and you start following that path, and more ideas start coming that lead you down towards the desires that you have.
Now, manifesting, I love this because I use this, you know, I try to manifest, well, not try to, but I do. I work on manifesting all the time. And it's interesting because some things manifest quickly, some things take a long time. And do you have an opinion on why that happens?
Yes, a lot of it has to do with how much we're allowing it to happen. And so I look at it as a gap between where you are right now and the desire, or the goal or the desire that you have, and, you know, when it manifests. And so there's a time frame, exactly what you're talking about. And so sometimes when people talk about the gap, like Eckhart Tolle talks about, you know, the gap, and it's really about finding the gap, which is, he describes the space between your thoughts. And you really want to find that gap, because that's kind of in meditation that brings you there. And that's why I call that going back into the present room. Now, Abraham Hicks talks about closing the gap. And closing the gap is the gap between your negative thoughts, your ego, with the thoughts of your higher self. And trying to view the world through the eyes of Source, or through the eyes of your higher self. And when you can close that gap, and you can truly view the world through your higher self, now you've closed that gap. But I think from a manifesting standpoint, I like to focus on enjoying the gap. And you have to enjoy that gap. And that's the reason why sometimes it comes quickly and sometimes it doesn't. The gap between right now and the manifestation of your desire, or what you're, you know, what you're trying to achieve. Because if you're not enjoying it, then you're starting to worry about it, and you're starting to doubt it. And you know what? You know, someone's saying you're not going to be able to do that, and saying, "Yeah, who am I kidding? I'm not going to be able to do that." And then you start doubting it, and then you start pushing it back, because now, if you doubt it, you can't. It's not going to come. And you're not going to be able to have it. And so, but then you get inspired ideas. And, I think I can do this. And then it starts to get closer. And then, you know, someone else tells you, that's dumb, or forget it, you give it up. And it's all those hesitations and stopping and going. But when you can look at a desire as if it's already happened, really visualize it as if it's already done. And what will it feel like to have completed that, you know, that goal, that desire, or having achieved that? And now you can hold on to that feeling as if it's already happened. Now that gap comes much quicker. Now you've really cut down the time frame between now and the manifestation of that, because you're already enjoying it as if it's already happened. And now you're allowing it to come. And you will be getting all these different ideas and this and acting on them, and now that's manifested. And the beauty is, it's not over then. Because we constantly have desires, and we constantly have new, that's why we're here. We're living in this physical plane to constantly come up with, you know, new wants and new desires. And so it's a road that is always, you want this and this and this and this and this. So you constantly have new desires, and if you're enjoying it the whole way, knowing, yeah, I know I can, that'll be coming. I can't wait to do this, and I can't wait to do this, and how is this going to happen? And you're literally looking for clues as to how these things are going to keep manifesting in your life. Now you've almost made it a game that you're just, you know, you're expecting it to happen. You just don't know where it's coming. And now it's this joyful game where you're enjoying the gap between now and these manifestations, these desires keep manifesting over and over. But if you can't enjoy the space or that gap between now and when it happens, you're ensuring that it's not going to happen. and then you're going to continue to have negative emotions.
Okay. So, yeah, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking, that sounds like fun. We can do that. But what if you're in dire straits? And if you are really in a desperate situation and you need that to change, it's very difficult to enjoy the space in between where you are and what you're manifesting. Is that just something we have to wrestle with or try to get a hold of? How do we deal with something like that?
Well, that's a really good question, because, you know, there are people in, quote, you know, let's say, dire straits, and they don't really know where to turn. And that can be a number of different things. It can be from a health perspective. It can be from a financial perspective. It can be from a lot of, you know, different things. But it's still understanding where, you know, who we are, which are these eternal beings, that have manifested in these physical bodies, you know, in order to experience ourselves. And so being able to look at it, even if we're in this dire situation, knowing that, okay, you know, in this situation, you know, what is the best way to approach this? And, you know, how can, you know, I'm going to just, you know, be open to however this should unfold. And, you know, in a movie, you know, we've all seen movies, and sometimes, you know, a lot of heartaches and dire situations happen in movies. And sometimes we see, you know, miraculous finishes. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we don't. And we can sit back and watch that movie, and we can still enjoy the movie, even if it's something serious going on or something, you know, if someone's going through some, you know, a dire, you know, circumstances, and we watch how they come through it. And so we can do the same thing with our own lives. We can start to observe our own lives from that perspective and knowing that, okay, you know, I know negative emotions are not going to help, and I don't know, meaning my ego or, you know, me, the physical person, you know, I'm not sure how, what's the best place, the way out of here, but I'm going to turn this over to you. And I think that's where that, you know, the term surrender starts to come in. When you start to surrender to your higher self, you now start to have a different perception of your life. And that's the key. When we talk about if you're in a dire situation, you have a perception you're in a dire situation, there's no way out, and you can change your perception at any time, looking at it from the perception of your higher self.
Perfect. So we are out of time, and I don't want to cut you off. Your book is called, we're talking with Kevin Murphy, and the book is The Three Rooms, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. Kevin, where is this available?
It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay, perfect. And if anyone wants to contact you, do you have a website? How would they reach you?
I think I reached www.thethreerooms.com.
Ah, that makes it really, really easy. Well, gosh, this has been so enlightening. I love it. And I did give you some pretty tough questions, and you are able to really answer them and give me clarity on some of the things that I wonder about. So I know that you've given clarity to my listeners. Thank you for all the wisdom that you've given us today. And to my listeners, this is an excellent book. It really puts life into perspective for you. So I recommend that you purchase it. Kevin, thank you so much for being my guest today. I appreciate all the enlightenment and mindfulness and wisdom that you offer.
Randy, thank you so much for having me on, and I really appreciate the conversation and you know, being able to, you know, to have the conversation. I very much enjoyed it.
Good. I'm glad you did. All right, well, be well, and hopefully we'll connect in the future. Take care.
Very good. I would like that. Thank you.
Okay. All right, bye-bye. So we are out of time for today. If you have any comments or questions, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.